At AngiesList.com/Amber, you can find thousands of unbiased ratings on services for your home improvements, car repairs, and even doctors. When you use promo code AMBER, you will save 25% off your subscription. It used to be difficult to find service providers you can trust, but not anymore thanks to AngiesList.com/Amber. So visit AngiesList.com/Amber today and save time and money.
It's time to kick it off, yeah. It's time to do a great Amber May show. It's here with topics you like out of the desert where the sun gets hot. So drop on into that Amber May spot.
Welcome to the Amber May Show. I'm your host, Amber May, and I just want to welcome you. Thank you guys for joining me today on the show. Just a couple of announcements before we get started. If you want to sign up, I have a free newsletter you can join. Just go to my website, AmberMayShow.com. And right there on the homepage, you'll see join the newsletter. Just put in your information and off you go. It's totally free, and I'd love for you to be a part of what we're doing on the Amber May Show and all the newest things that are going on. Also, be sure to check out my discount page because identity theft is on the rise. I've partnered with LifeLock.com. And also, entertainment. You can get cut out the cable, watch all your TV shows and movies right there at blockbuster.com, and you can find those links and the discounts at the discount page under entertainment and identity theft protection. If you want to write me, go ahead and find me at P.O. Box 5162, Peoria, Arizona 85385. That's P.O. Box 5162, Peoria, Arizona 85385. Well, I am really excited about today's show. It's a topic that is near and dear to my heart, and we're continuing our discussion on infertility. It plagues a lot of families, and it's very common, believe it or not. And today I'm going to have my friend Christy Woods tell her story because she has been an angel to me, and I'm so glad that God put her in my life. And I know she can be an encouragement to all of you guys. So welcome, Christy, to the program.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
I'm so excited about this.
Me too.
So I guess we'll just get right into it. What caused the infertility and how did you walk through that? Because, man, it's hard when you can't have a baby or you have a lot of miscarriages and you just have trouble conceiving and everyone around you is having baby showers. Mm-hmm. It's like, how do you deal with that? Because you're so sad inside, but yet you're happy for them. It's hard. So walk us through your story. What was that like for you?
It's a tough road definitely to go down. My husband and I were married in 1991. We were very young. In 1993 was when I was diagnosed with endometriosis and went through many surgeries, about one a year, total of six. Till the last one, I basically told the doctor, if there's nothing left to save, don't save it. And after I woke up from the surgery, I felt like I had given up. And I felt like, why did I do that? I mean, in the end, I know my doctor did what she needed to do and I trusted her, but I felt like I gave up. It was just one of those things where I beat myself up, you know, over and over again. But, I have to trust that it was the right thing. So that was our 7-year anniversary when I had my full hysterectomy. And so there was absolutely no chance, obviously, for me to get pregnant. We had tried many times to get pregnant, you know, just because that's one of the cures for endometriosis is to get pregnant and then it goes away or kind of resides and, you know, you can get better. So anyways, I basically went into a dark, deep depression. I don't know how my husband put up with me for so many years, but it was one of those things where I would cry myself to sleep. I would sit in the shower and I would just bawl. People would say certain things and I would get really mad. And whether it was positive or negative, I didn't know how to take it. And, you know, negativity was, you know, my way of dealing with it. I turned from God a lot. I blamed him. I questioned him. Instead of turning to him, I turned from him. And I know that God says, you know, in times of trouble and times of sorrow, don't turn away from me, but turn towards me. And I didn't learn that until many years later. You know, my husband and I finally decided after many years of going through the depression that we wanted to get back into church, kind of get back our lives. And we didn't realize it when we walked into the marriage class at Calvary Community Church back, oh gosh, it was in 2004, that he would have a major plan for us, the plan that he had from the beginning of creation. But we walked into this marriage class and introduced ourselves, and it was Mother's Day.
Ooh, that's tough.
It was very tough.
I tend to avoid church on Mother's Day. I know that's terrible.
I don't know why we decided to go on Mother's Day, and it was our first day, but we did it. And yeah, we walked into the class, and the gal that was greeting, her name was Lois, and she basically said, "Oh, welcome to the class, you know, come on in. You know, do you have any kids?"
I hate that question.
Me too. And of course the answer was no.
The other thing I hate is when people ask me, "Do you want to have kids? Are you going to have kids?"
Yeah, exactly. And she basically said, "Oh, you don't have any kids. Don't worry, you'll get pregnant as soon as you get in this class." Because everybody seems to get pregnant when they come in this class.
Oh, good.
So that was just another, you know, icing on the cake. And I basically looked at her and I felt so bad afterwards. But I looked at her and I said, "I can't have kids," in that kind of, you know, manner. And I realized afterwards when I looked at her face that turned sheet white that I had made her feel really bad. And I felt bad for making her feel bad. But that was my way of dealing with it, you know. Anyways, we sat through the class and they went through their Mother's Day spiel. And a bunch of mothers got up and kind of gave their little testimony and being a mother and this and that. And I finally, with tears running down my face, looked at my husband and I said, "I cannot stay. I can't do this. We need to leave." And he was like, "Okay," you know, he was ready to get up and leave. And I turned to leave and I saw this couple walking. We were sitting in the back row, this couple walking behind me. And she was in tears and her husband had his arm around her. And I realized at that moment that I was not alone. I mean, I don't know her situation. I never met her. But it was like God showing me right in my face, there are more people like you. You are not alone. And I felt God just kind of put his hands on my shoulders and said, "Sit down and don't move. This is where you need to be."
Wow.
It was very powerful. And I looked back at Dustin and I said, "I think I'm okay. I just want to stay. You know, I just want to hear it all out. And I don't know why, but I just want to stay." We stayed for many years, got to know many people and had many friends, and Lois became one of our great friends. One thing led to another. We ended up leaving the church. We moved on the other side of town, and we still stayed friends with a lot of the people from Calvary. What comes into play is that when Dustin and I decided to go through the adoption process for real, because we had many like trials that we were like, "Okay, we'll do it," and then I'd sit down at the table and try to do the paperwork, and I would freak out. Why are they asking me these questions? Who are they to ask me these questions? Of course I think I'm going to be a good mother. You know, I feel like I'm going to be a good mother, but it was just an emotional thing to deal with. And so finally, when I had seen a show on Wednesday's Child and I saw these kids on TV and I looked at them and I'm like, those could totally be our kids. And who am I to say what God's plan is for me? God has a plan. I want to do this. Let's do this. And that's when we decided to finally sit down and do the adoption papers in 2006. So it was January 2006. We were not thinking that we were going to, you know, do a private adoption or anything. It was going to be FOST Adopt. We were going through ASK. And it's kind of hard when you go through ASK. You think you're going to get these kids that you've seen on TV. Well, it doesn't work that way because, you know, they're shown and you're not certified. So there's a lot of process. Anyways, we went through the process. We did the classes, took about 3 months. And in April, I got a call from Lois, who was at Calvary Community. And she said to me that she knows somebody who's pregnant. And now you have to understand that we'd gotten many calls like that. And we'd actually maybe a year prior had gone through somebody who knew somebody and went through almost, I mean, not the whole thing, but we had basically just gotten to know her. I was about to go to one of her doctor's appointments and she had changed her mind. Mm. So it's very emotional to go through that roller coaster of, okay, yes, this is it. You know, this is not it. Okay. Yeah. You know, and to do all that. So
I wonder if that's the same feeling as having a miscarriage or similar to it. Cause you get your hopes up thinking you're going to have a baby and you start imagining what it's going to be like to have a baby and hold them and right. Love on them. And then you don't get that. So what was that like? I mean,
it was horrifyingly horrific. I can't describe it in any other way. It was one of the dark moments in my life. I remember just sitting in the parking lot waiting for the call from the gal who was pregnant, the birth mother, and sitting there waiting for her to call me because it was kind of a funny situation that day where we were supposed to be in contact and it didn't happen. And I got a call from my Aunt Judy, who was the one who connected us with her. And she had had to tell me over the phone while I'm by myself in the car that she had changed her mind. Mm. And I remember just sobbing and sobbing and sobbing, and I couldn't stop sobbing. And it was really emotional. It felt like I'd lost my child, you know. And the funny thing about that whole situation is I never felt like it was right. I always felt uneasy. And when we come into the story about, you know, when we actually started the adoption process again, I felt comfortable. I didn't feel uneasy. I felt like this was right. So, I mean, God tells you in little ways that you don't realize at the time that when things are right, when it feels right, when it is right, it will be right.
How many times did you go through that where you thought you were going to have a baby and then it fell through?
That was the only time.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah.
Because I think I'd been discouraged personally if I had to go through that and keep getting rejected. And I'm sure there's people out there listening.
Oh, definitely.
That have been rejected several times and they can totally relate to what you're going through.
Definitely. Yeah. I'm grateful to only go through it one time because I know there's many people who have gone through the adoption process and have been rejected many times, or the birth mother has changed their mind. But it's just one of those things where God knows what you can handle. And I don't know if I could have handled it again. It was very, very, very emotional for me. So it was kind of funny, too, because kind of going back to that, when I was driving home, my friend had given me a call and she had known what had happened. And she's like, "Are you okay?" And I was like, I'm just so sad. I can't even explain how sad I am. And my mother-in-law was there at the time. She was staying with us. And I remember just driving home going, I don't want to even face her right now. I just want to go home and cry. I just want to cry. And so I had gotten home and thinking I was going to open the door to her, and it was an empty house. She had taken the dog for a walk.
Yay!
So I was grateful for that. So
I want to talk a couple minutes about, because we will get to your son.
Yes.
But and that might be on another episode because it's very important that we talk about him. But while we go through the realization that you can't have kids, what did that feel like to you?
Empty. I felt like I wasn't a female. I felt very alone. I didn't feel like there was anybody else who understood. Even though my husband was dealing with it with me, I didn't know how to talk to him about it. Even though he's one of those people that can sit there and listen and understand, but I didn't have anybody except for God, and I turned from him. So I just felt alone. I felt empty. It was just I can't explain it any further than a deep, dark hole for me.
For me, not that when I've ever lost my babies, especially the last one, it felt like a death when I'm trying to get pregnant and I can't, and it feels like mourning, like I'm mourning a death of somebody I've known for a long time, and that's the only way I can describe the pain of what it's like. And so God put you in my life at an awesome time when he knew I was going to go through this emotional wreck. And I'm like, how did you get through it? I mean, you feel like giving up, you feel like you're not a female, you want to give your husband a child and you can't, and then everyone's asking you all the time when you're gonna have a baby. People are inviting you to baby showers all around you. It's just like, why can't that be me? What's wrong with me? And then you do wonder and you question God and you hate God for a while.
Yeah.
And I think God's patient enough to know where we're at and to bring us around.
It's only by his saving grace, seriously. I mean, it's amazing what he knows what you can handle. And I was telling you earlier that, you know, I really feel like it's God carrying you through the darkest situations in your life, and you don't realize he's carrying you.
You don't.
Until you look back and you're like, wow, there's only one set of footprints in the sand, and they were his because he was carrying you the whole time.
Unfortunately, my show is really short. So if we can encourage someone, how did you get through that rough road? How did you finally have your breakthrough?
You know, I think it was me just being sick and tired of being sick and tired. I was tired of being depressed. I was tired of being, I felt like looked at as different, and I wanted to just feel normal. Mm-hmm. And that was when I decided that I just needed to get back into church, and I needed to get back into God, who was the most important thing in my life. And I just basically turned back to him, and it wasn't anything specific, and it wasn't anything, you know, that really touched me. It was just being tired, and I wanted not to be tired anymore.
That's exactly what happened to me too.
Wow.
The same exact thing, just feeling normal, wanting to be normal. and turn back to God, because that's the only way I knew how to get whole again.
Yeah.
Well, folks, we're going to be talking to Christy Woods again, because she has a fascinating story about how her son came to be. So I want you to stay tuned for the next few weeks to the program. Remember, instead of thinking about number one, just yourself, think about number two, because eventually number two will look out for you.